Good morning, church. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, and we give thanks that you are with us today, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. Welcome to December, and welcome to Advent. One of my favorite times of the church year, and really, really excited to share the beginning of it with all of you. Doesn't this church look beautiful? I just want to thank everybody who helped come decorate the sanctuary and the rest of the church. Can we get a round of applause for those folks? Yeah. So I'm just really, really grateful for that. A couple other announcements that I have. There is an ecumenical Lessons and Carols service tonight at the Community Center. It's usually at City Hall, but City Hall is being worked on, so it's at the Community Center tonight at 5 p.m. So if you would like to sing some Christmas carols, hear the Christmas story, celebrate with yes, John?
The new community center, not the old one.
Yes, thank you. I would not have thought to make that distinction. I've only been here for 2 years plus a few days. So the new community center, you get to see the new building. I've been in there. It's gorgeous. And the other announcement that I have is I will be out of the office tomorrow because I have an appointment. So if you need me, you can send me an email or shoot me a text or a phone call, and I will respond as soon as I'm able to. And then the other thing that I wanted to share with you is for this season of Advent, if you didn't read your newsletter, my office administrative mother would say, shame on you if you didn't read your newsletter. We are doing a worship series. This is something new that I haven't done before, and you know, maybe y'all have experienced it at some other time with some other pastor, but basically we're dealing with the lectionary still, but we're working with a theme that sort of weaves throughout the whole season of Advent and into Christmas Eve. The main theme of the worship series is called The Inn, and we are talking today about making room, and we are lighting the candle of hope today, and. We've got a couple other things going on. We've got communion today, so if you're worshiping at home, please join us when it's time and grab some elements from your pantry. And then also Dean and Angie Wallendahl are here, and we want to surround them with our love, and also give them the check. That has the offering that we collected over the last 2 weeks. Well, I should say 2 weeks ago. And I just really want to give thanks to the generosity of this church, because over those two Sundays, this church collected $2,433. Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I am so grateful, because I have always known this to be true, right? When a need arises, this church steps up, right? And we are a very giving, very generous, very caring congregation, and I am very glad that we get to show some care to Dean and Angie and their family in a time of great need. Are there any other announcements this morning that we... Oh, yes, Becky, you've got a couple.
Good morning. I have several announcements, so I'm going to give you the short version, and then if you need more information, just come and see me after the service, please. We are having a giving tree this year. You'll see there are not any tags on it just yet. The tags will go up this Wednesday. This year's giving tree is a gift card only tree. You're welcome to give monetary donations or just go buy the gift cards yourselves. We are doing this with Reach Waupun. Just if you want to write out a check or purchase the cards, just make sure you put in an envelope marked for the giving tree, please. Christmas program practice, excuse me, is going really well. I am so excited. A lot of our parishioners, adults included, are really involved in this. We have 11 different scenes, but don't worry, it's not as long as it sounds. And a lot of fun Christmas programs. That'll be next Sunday during the 9:30 service that we'll present our program. And we have a very important practice on Saturday the 7th at 9 a.m. It is the only time we get to practice with the microphones and up here on the altar. Otherwise, we're doing some makeshift work in the classrooms and back. So if you're a part of that, please, please come to that Saturday morning dress rehearsal. Books and Advent calendars were given out recently through the Gertrude Lenz Fund for the books and the Christian Ed Fund for the Advent calendars. If your family did not get one, they are on the table with the t-shirt orders. They're listed there and they're marked with the family names on them. And that brings me to the t-shirt orders. If you're interested in ordering a Union Congregational t-shirt, please get your payment and order forms to Alana or myself by the end of the day tomorrow, at the end of the office hours, 12:30. However, if you can't make that deadline, but just contact me and let me know what your order is for and how much, we'll still get your order in and then I'll get your money from you later. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Becky. And the other nice thing about the Christmas program being next week is you don't have to hear me yammer on for a sermon. Last year when I said that, there was cheering, and I don't know how I should feel about that. But you know, one of those things. So, any other announcements this morning? Okay, good. So, as we share the peace of Christ, I am going to say, the hope of Christ be with you, and I invite you, if you'd like to say, and also with you, and then you can turn to your neighbors and say, the hope of Christ be with you, the hope of Christ be with you, and the hope of Christ be with you. So, friends, the hope of Christ be with you. All right, let's share the peace of Christ with one another. Good morning.
If it's comfortable for you to do so, please stand. Join me in the call to worship. Economic disparity runs rampant, locally and globally, As we enter the Advent season, how can our churches become houses where the holy will be born anew, offering respite, sustenance, and care, opening the doors ever wider to those seeking shelter from the onslaught of life?
No one
As we study the biblical prophets that call us to care for our neighbors and make room in the inn.
The lonely and frightened spaces within us are filled with the light of hope, peace, joy, and love.
Please join me in the unison prayer. God of all generations, though sins and seasons change, your promise is faithful and your word will never pass away. Give us courage and strength as we watch and wait for Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who is coming in glory to reign. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 153, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
You may be seated. Now, I would invite the Velema family to come and lead us in the lighting of the candle of hope.
Today is the beginning of Advent, the preparation time for celebrating Christ's birth. We are here because God's promises to the ancestors came true when Jesus was born. God's promise is kept each Sunday when we worship because Christ is in our midst. God will keep the promise to come again in glory. From Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, "Your darkness covers the earth and gloom the nations. The Lord will shine upon you. God's glory will appear over you." We light this candle to proclaim the coming of the light, God into the world. With the coming of this light, there is hope. Because of Christ, we not only have hope, but we believe that the good is stronger than evil. God wants us to work for good in this world. Please pray with me. O God, we thank you that Jesus brought hope into our world By the good news of the Bible, you are still bringing hope to people. Help us to be ready to welcome Jesus Christ so that we may think good thoughts and do good deeds, and so that we may be a people of hope in our world. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Now we are going to join in a song. Some of you who have been here the last couple years will remember this song. Others might not have heard it before, but this is a song by my friend Richard Brooksford Colligan, and it's we'll be singing verses of it throughout the Advent season. And it goes like this. We light a candle for hope, and our world that's longing for hope. We light a candle for hope, and our world that's longing for hope. Holy One, shine with the fire of our lives. Oh, we light a candle for hope, and our world that's longing for hope. Will you sing with me? We light a candle for hope, and our world that's longing for hope. We light a candle for hope, and our world that's longing for hope. Holy One, shine. And now I invite any young worshipers who are with us to come join Becky and I up on the steps.
All right. I'm going to have you sit on the top step, so hopefully you can see over the communion tables. Any more brave ones back there? No? All right. How are you guys today? Good. I'm going to talk about gifts. I'm going to talk about gifts because at Christmas we give a lot of gifts, but we also get a lot of gifts. You like getting gifts? Who doesn't, right? Yeah. Have you ever paid attention to the expression on someone's face when you gave them a gift? Anybody? Have you ever paid attention to their expressions when you give them a gift? What did it look like you never paid attention? No, never. Never. Oh, well, what do you think it would look like if you did pay attention to that? If you give someone a gift, what do you think they would do? What would they do? Yeah, they'd make this face like, oh my gosh, yes. What else? Would they say anything? What might they say? Say it.
Thank you.
Yeah, they might say thank you. Let's see. Do you think they'd smile?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I think they'd feel really good, don't you?
I think so, yeah.
Let's see. How did it make you feel when you gave them a gift? When you saw them smile? Did that make you feel good too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Well, the tradition of giving gifts at Christmas started with the three kings. Yeah, did you ever hear those three kings? You know, the ones from Orient are, and we were still trying to figure out where Orient was. We're going to figure that out in our play, by the way, next week.
Yes.
Let's see, what did the three kings give? Do you remember what they gave? Do you remember it all? It's in that song. Okay, they gave gold.
Hope?
That's a really good guess. They gave hope, he said. Boy, that's a smart answer.
Yeah.
Really educated guess. All right, how about, they actually gave gold, frankincense. You ever hear of frankincense?
What the
What? Yeah, they said, what? And myrrh. They gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, those are kind of goofy things to us. We know what gold is, right? It's a really valuable, precious metal. And frankincense is like a scent, almost like a perfume type thing.
Does it have Frankenstein on the
front? Does it have Frankenstein on the front? No.
No.
Frankincense doesn't have anything to do with Frankenstein. That's a good question, though.
Yeah.
Because it does sound like that.
And it's not as scary as Frankenstein is, either.
No. And I think myrrh is an oil, right?
Yep.
Does it haunt people?
Does it haunt people?
No.
No, probably not.
No. But in Jesus' time, gold, frankincense, and myrrh were very valuable. Okay, what gifts can you give at Christmas that don't cost you anything to give? It's a tough one, huh?
Wait, so it doesn't cost any money?
It doesn't cost any money. What can you give that doesn't cost any money?
Just give maybe some of your toys.
Okay. Give them some of your toys that you don't use. Excellent answer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Make sure they're not dirty.
Yeah. Clean them first. Make sure the toys aren't dirty.
Make sure it's a secret so they don't buy it.
Yes. Make sure they don't buy it.
Yeah.
Okay, what else can you give? Did you ever give Grandma and Grandpa a hug? Is that a gift? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. Giving hugs, giving a friendly smile. Could you do something around the house?
Yeah.
For them? Yeah.
Chores.
Chores. He said chores. Say that.
Oh. And clean the house.
And help clean the house. Excellent.
Pick up your toys.
Yeah, especially if you have company coming over, pick up your toys, right? Well, I'm going to give you a gift today, and I want to quick read what it says. There's a card that goes along with it. Okay? Giving gifts at Christmas is a fun and wonderful tradition. The tradition of gifting is directly tied to the three gifts the wise men gave to Jesus upon his birth. Matthew 2:11 states, "The wise men opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Gift giving is a way to remember and honor the ultimate gift God gave the world, the gift of his son. So I'm going to give you one of these today, and I want you to hand it to mom and dad on your way back to our practice session. But before that, we're going to ask Pastor Jacob to please lead us in prayer.
Absolutely. So as you know, I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For teaching us.
For teaching us.
About giving gifts.
About giving gifts.
And getting gifts.
And getting gifts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For Jesus.
For Jesus.
And the gift he is to us.
And the gift he is to us.
Help us.
Help us.
Share your love.
Share your love.
By giving gifts.
By giving gifts.
By sharing, love.
By sharing love.
Everywhere we go.
Everywhere we go.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for coming up, everybody. Enjoy your practice session. Thank you, Becky.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 25, 1 through 7. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you to be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your paths, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. And our New Testament reading is Luke 21, verses 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth there will be dismay among nations in their confusion over the roaring of the sea and surging waves. The planets and other heavenly bodies will be shaking, causing people to faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. Then they will see the human one coming on a cloud with power and great splendor. Now, when these things begin to happen, stand up straight and raise your heads, because your redemption is near. Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you know that God's kingdom is near. I assure you that this generation won't pass away until everything has happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will certainly not pass away. Take care that your hearts aren't dulled by drinking parties, drunkenness, and the anxieties of day-to-day life. Don't let that day fall upon you unexpectedly like a trap. It will come upon everyone who lives on the face of the whole earth. Stay alert at all times, praying that you are strong enough to escape everything that is about to happen and to stand before the human one. Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. Our media song for today is called Waiting for My Real Life to Begin.
Now my ship is coming in. I'll keep checking the horizon, and I'll stand on the bow and feel the waves come crashing, crashing down, down, down on me. And you say, be still, my love. Open up your heart, let the light shine in. Don't you understand? I already have a plan. I'm waiting for my real life to begin. When I woke today, suddenly nothing happened. But in my dreams, I slew the dragon and down this beaten path, up this cobbled lane, walking in my old footsteps. Say, just be here now, forget about the past, your mask is wearing thin. Just let me throw one more dice, I know that I can win. I'm waiting for my real life to begin. Minute now, my ship is coming in. I'll keep checking the horizon, and I'll check my machine. It's sure to be that call. happen soon, soon, or so very soon. It's just the times a leap, and you say, be still, my love. Open up your heart, let the light shine in. Don't you understand? Oh, I already have a plan. I'm waiting for my real life to begin.
Thank you to Deb Van de Zand for putting that together. My friends, will you join me in prayer? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So when I first moved to St. Louis to start seminary, I was unemployed for 6 months because I didn't have a sense of the seminary lifestyle and how my class schedule would impact my availability for employment. I decided that I had enough savings to get me through for a little while I figured that out. I knew I would need to find a job eventually, and in the process, I would make the connections I needed to make with the community there. But it proved to be quite difficult. Before I moved to St. Louis, I did a lot of freelancing in my music ministry, and to be successful in freelancing, you kind of have to know a lot of people, right? And so they say it's all about who you know. And so those kinds of connections that I had became really important. But all of a sudden, I moved, and I didn't have those connections anymore. So as soon as I relocated, those opportunities mostly dried up. There were a couple things I could do, but not a whole lot. And yet, I still needed to buy groceries and books and apartment furnishings and all sorts of other things. And seminary is really expensive. If it's not as expensive as some graduate degrees, like, thank goodness I'm not a doctor or something, I'd still be in debt now. It wasn't like the responsibilities of my adult life had stopped because I didn't have any money coming in. And they charge you crazy sales tax in St. Louis. It's something like 10% or something like that. And, you know, to buy milk or whatever, geez, come on. It was nuts. I did end up getting a part-time job several months later that paid me quite well and that gave me the experience that I could use in the future. That was helpful. It was working at a church, and I use things that I learned there even to this day. But in all of this, I had to trust that God and Jesus were going to make a way for me to follow my calling. So I titled my sermon, "The Waiting is the Hardest Part," mostly because I wanted to make a Tom Petty reference, but also because it's true, right? Just like I had to wait for income while my savings rapidly declined, and lots of you probably have had to wait for something in your own lives. And the people in biblical times had to wait a lot too. This week, we open up our sermon series for Advent, and we're talking a lot today about making room. The reality is that sometimes our own anxieties get in the way of making room for God to do something new and truly believing that God can do something new even in the midst of these things. I know that as somebody who has generalized anxiety disorder. I got diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder back in April or May of this year. When you live with generalized anxiety disorder, having hope for the future and trusting that things are going to work out is not quite in your DNA all the time. When you don't know what the future holds, when you can't plan, it's just not easy stuff. And lots of folks have anxiety, lots of folks have depression, lots of folks have other sorts of things going on, and so there are all sorts of reasons why it's not an easy proposition to be hopeful. When I think about the challenges that people in biblical times were experiencing, it strikes me that some of these challenges might have been similar to what I experienced during that time in my life in seminary, or also what some of you might experience. These kinds of challenges are well documented, and I've spoken a lot about the economic disparities that so many people were experiencing in those times. The rulers at the top were making sure that they got the vast majority of the resources, leaving people like you and me with hardly anything to live on. And in our country's current economy, healthcare, childcare costs, rising food prices, and other barriers often disadvantage those who are already in difficult situations. And not to mention, we have folks like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and those sorts of people who are making far more money than they would ever know what to do with. And we might make the argument that they built their wealth on the backs of lots of other people who are really struggling at the companies that they founded. And so in some ways, the situations that we experience and the situations that people experienced in biblical times are not altogether that different. For generations, the stories passed down in what we now know as the Hebrew Bible have told these people that somebody, somewhere, is going to come and turn the whole thing around. The psalmist says, "Oh my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame."
But the grace this week, the grace of this moment asks us to remember what Jesus says to us. When Jesus comes, he says, there will be dismay among nations in their confusion over the roaring of the sea and surging waves. The planets and other heavenly bodies will be shaken, causing people to faint from fear and foreboding of what's coming upon the world. Lots of us are afraid for many different reasons right now. Lots of us are afraid because of what our country is becoming and what our world is becoming. Some of us are dealing with difficult personal circumstances that we would never imagine that we would find ourselves in. The last thing that we want to do naturally is wait for Jesus to come in situations like these. We just want instant gratification. We just want Jesus to show up and make everything better. This is why the waiting truly is the hardest part. But Jesus also gives us comfort in that time of waiting. Jesus also says, when these things begin to happen, when you see the fear and foreboding, when all of this chaos ensues, don't be afraid. He says, when these things begin to happen, stand up straight and raise your heads, because your redemption is near. Don't be afraid. Don't let the anxieties of your life prevent you from knowing that Jesus is coming for you. Jesus comes for your benefit to make the world more aligned to what God is already doing. If you look around, God is doing amazing and powerful things within us, among us, around us, and through us. And we have the joy of partnering with God to do that work. Here's the good news. Sometimes the anxieties of our lives feel like they might overtake us. But Jesus came to liberate us from the difficulties of our times, just as he did for people in biblical times. And he will do all of this if we wait with patience. So, my friends, I leave you with this question. How might you make room for Jesus to liberate you from the difficulties you are experiencing in your life? How might you live with hope in situations where it may seem easier to give in to anxiety? I'm not going to pretend that the anxiety or the depression or the different things that are pressuring us are going to go away. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that those 6 months when I didn't have a job in a new place were pretty scary, and I had to trust that God would provide for me and that Jesus could create something new in me, and the same might be true for you. God is taking care of you. Jesus is making something new in you. In today's media song, I wonder if God is speaking to us, if Jesus is speaking to us, saying, be still, my love. Open up your heart. Let the light shine. Don't you understand? I already have a plan. Trusting in God and making room for a newborn baby to change the world forever can give us hope in a hurting world. So as you go into this week, may you be ready to find the ways you can continue living into that hope. As you go into this week, may you become that hope for somebody else. A newborn baby, a child, God with us, is coming to change the world forever. And the hope of his birth can empower us to share that hope in times of fear. There are so many ways that this church can give so deeply and so generously. And let us do so, remembering the hope that we have found in the coming of Christ. May it be so. Amen. So now we enter into a time of more intentional prayer. Let's take a few moments first in silence to think of the people and situations who might need our prayers and our love today. Receive the prayers of our hearts, O God. Amen. What prayers do we have to share today? Yes. I can repeat into the microphone as well.
Praise for our Montreal family, in particular Gabrielle's. Hopefully nature takes its course, and a week from today we'll be new grandparents.
Wow, wow, wonderful. So Rick and Lori are expecting grandchild number two?
Three.
Three. Gabrielle and Chris in Montreal are expecting, and hopefully within the next week they will become grandparents again. So what joy that is. So for Chris and Gabrielle and their whole family, and for Rick and Lori as they wait with hope. God in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring today? Yes, for the Middle East and for all those who are experiencing war and conflict. God in your mercy. Yes, Deb.
Pray for my sister who is going under treatment for CLL.
What is CLL?
Chronic lymphomic leukemia.
Oh my gosh. Okay. For Deb Sauer's sister, who is undergoing treatment for chronic lymphomic leukemia. And what's your sister's name?
Linda.
For Linda, God on your mercy. Any other prayers today? Okay. Anything on Zoom? Okay. Then, friends, won't you join me in the spirit of prayer? God of grace and love, we give you thanks for gathering us here today and for reminding us that in the midst of our waiting, in the midst of our anxiety, that there is hope in the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ. And yet there are so many reasons to be anxious.
for cancer treatment, for childbirth, and the joys and the challenges that that brings. For those who experience war and conflict in the Middle East and other places. For those who experience food insecurity, poverty, homelessness, discrimination in all its forms. We ask you to empower us to share the hope we've found in your presence. And the reminder that this is not the end. As difficult situations emerge and as chaos ensues, instead of feeling like this is the end, instead of feeling like things are hopeless, you invite us to raise our heads, to take heart, and to take courage. And for all this, we give you thanks. For all this, we praise you. For all this, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, who shows us the way and teaches us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Before we offer our gifts back to God through our regular offering, I want to invite Dean and Angie Wallendahl to come forward, if you will. As some of you remember, we received an urgent request from Dean and Angie and their family as they were in great danger of experiencing homelessness due to a water main break in their home, and it's a very scary time for such a thing to happen. I first want to give you this as a reminder that there is still hope in times of hopelessness. And I also would love to just say a prayer. So friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for the Wallendahl family. We give you thanks for their trust in you through very difficult circumstances. We give you thanks that you have empowered us with the ability to help them in their time of need. And may you be with them. May you give them the comfort of your spirit as they continue to go through this journey of picking up the pieces again, that they may go back into their home again, warm and safe. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we give thanks that we're able to help, and we sure hope with you that you are able to go back into your home by Christmas. What a wonderful gift that would be. So, and thank you to this congregation for your generosity in their time of need.
Thank you.
God be with you, friends. So now it is time to offer our gifts back to God. Here at Union Congregational Church, we give thanks for all the ways that gifts are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may give generously through placing your offering in the offering plate, or you may also give online at uccwapan.net. Join me in the prayer of dedication. Holy One, thank you for the gift of hope you bring to the world. Help us make room in our hearts to provide that hope through our giving, through our loving, and through our being. Amen. You may be seated. Now comes the time that we share in Holy Communion together. There is some liturgy before we actually take the elements, so if you still haven't gotten your elements back at home, you may do so now. And as another reminder, this is Christ's table, right? This table does not belong to me. It does not belong to this church, but it belongs to Christ. And we rejoice that Christ offers the opportunity for all of us to participate, whether we have been at this table many times, whether we have never been here before, whether we haven't been here for a long time. It is open to all those whom Christ would welcome. So please join me in prayer. The Holy One be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, birthing God, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in our mother's womb, house of the holy, growing us in your image and likeness. Our hearts and lungs became a place of opening and welcoming, doors for the spirit of life that you breathed into us. We have not always understood ourselves as sacred creation, a place for the dwelling of the holy inside of us. We have not always seen that in others. When we turn away from each other and from you, your love remains steadfast. You deliver us from the captivity of isolation and fear. Make covenant to be our steadfast, indwelling God, and continue to speak to us through prophetic utterance in the Spirit and through the people. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the midst of a time of despair, oppression, division, and fear,
Your gestation in the house of a holy womb through an unlikely midwife of salvific power brought Jesus the Christ into the world. Into the inn of simple means came a life dedicated and anointed by the Spirit to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. A common birth for common people, he fed the hungry and sat in houses at table with those who suffer and those who perpetuated suffering, laying bare complicity and compassion. His baptism ministry, death and resurrection gave the blueprints for the building of church community and rejection of slavery to sin and death. You made a new covenant with us to be midwives by water and the Spirit, birthing more hope, more peace, more joy, more love into the world, making more room in this house at this table for all. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and the Holy Spirit. In another house, on another night, the night in which he gave himself to us, Jesus took bread and he broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, Jesus took a cup. Poured it out and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is heavy. Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Didn't break it, thank goodness. That would have been interesting. And so, in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice. In union with God, with Christ's offering for us, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Open our hearts in and through this act, stripping away any excuse for fearful hesitation, so that we may open our doors to this world as the body of Christ, redeemed by his love. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in his final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. So as we prepare to take communion, I want to remind us how this will work. You'll see elements on either side of me on the tables with the white cloth. They have cubes of bread and little cups which contain grape juice. As you take communion, you may come through the center aisle and then return to your seats by way of the side aisles. And if it's not comfortable for you to come up, someone will come to you and offer you communion. And on the center table here, you see some crackers, which are gluten-free. So if that is a need for you, if you have gluten sensitivities, please know that that is there for you. So my friends, the gifts of God are given for the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready. Thank you. So each week of this series, we will close out our service with a Christmas carol. Yes, Advent is not yet the birth of Christ. However, as we prepare our homes and this house for the holy, we live in the already and not yet. We already know the rest of the story, and yet we have not seen the fulfillment of a time when suffering ends. Today, we sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem, a carol written by Phillips Brooks in 1865 after a horseback ride between Jerusalem and Bethlehem on Christmas Eve. An original verse not included in our hymnals is especially poignant for our theme. When children pure and holy pray to the blessed child, where misery cries out to thee, son of the mother mild, where charity stands watching and faith holds wide the door, the dark night wakes, the glory breaks, and Christmas comes once more. Let us remember that it was in a little and unassuming town where the holy was housed. We too can offer light and hope in a place where faith holds wide the door, even and especially in our little town, perhaps the little town of Waupun. So let us rise, if it's comfortable for you to do so, and join in the singing of O Little Town of Bethlehem. My friends, receive these words of benediction. May God's door of welcome swing open in your heart and in your life. May Christ's humble first dwelling remind you of the plenty you already know. And may the Spirit lead you into more possibility and hospitality than you can imagine, making room in the inn for all. May it be so for you. May it be so for us, May it be so for this church. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace. Amen.